Blog Talk Radio.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
B-I-B-L-E. Thanks for listening today, especially today, as it's my 33rd birthday, so happy birthday to me. Thank you once again, and what we're going to do is play a song for you. This one's called Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Go Fish guys, I have the perfect part for you and all the kids to sing. Now I'm going to sing it, and you and the kids just sing it back to me. You ready? Alright, here we go.
Lord of
everybody.
That was Love Like This. And before that, we had It's About the Cross and Desert, all by Go Fish. And if you want to check out them, you could see their website at gofishguys.com. That's GOFISHGUYS.COM. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. And what we're going to do next is going to play a song. This one is by Shyland. And this one is called, let's see, this one I'm going to play is Lord of Patience, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Christ, thing that is amazing to us,
yeah,
is that you still continue to display your patience to us,
yeah,
through all our stumbles and falls and our idolatry, through all our grumbling and all of our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness with brothers and sisters, we're hostile, our unforgiveness, all because we're just missing the gospel. We should be slow to anger, but your word was slow to hear it. Oh Father, help us please, we truly need your Holy Spirit. He is the only person who can shape this fruit within us.
Yeah.
We praise the risen Savior who is able to present us,
Jesus,
without an ounce of blame,
yeah,
with zero doubt or shame.
Yeah.
Lord Jesus, down you came from heaven to announce your reign in the hearts of your people. And now we have the truth,
yeah,
and gladly choose to praise you for all of your attributes. Who can record your graces,
ooh,
adored through scores of ages?
Yeah.
Your reward is the nations, for you are the Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Lord of patience.
Oh, sovereign God, you are the Lord of patience.
Our scene takes place inside of a home. The husband has just walked up the staircase. He glares into space with despair on his face. His soul is on fire. Inside there's a war that can't be denied. He stands outside the door. On the other side, his bride and a lover, oblivious to the fact their lies been discovered. So as they embrace and try to make haste, they have no idea what's about to take place. Gun in hand, he longs to understand what would lead his wife into the arms of another man. He thinks back to the day they made their vows, before God, before the minister in the crowd. Exchange of the rings, the joy of the reception, now a tainted memory destroyed by deception. He has been faithful to her, now the fire of his desire got him ready to do something hateful to her. He never thought his wife would be just a faker, and that her lust would make her a covenant breaker. The promise of fidelity they made was glorious, but now his jealousy has made him furious. And they can't see the danger those dreams of peace they make could ever ease the pain or appease his anger. He kicks open the door, they jump out of the bed. Don't move is all he said, gun pointed at his head. The screams of his wife as he clutches the covers, quotes her lover, spoke to plead for his life. The husband says to the God, look me in my eye, my face will be the last thing you see before you die. The husband cried inside, his love was bona fide. Trouble for the bride, double homicide.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made, as our unbelief leads our hearts astray. How long before he turns his face away?
The Bible, who invites our trust, must be understood to be nothing like us. Most of the time, human jealousy will hurt you, but when it comes to God, his jealousy is a virtue. One of his awesome perfections, surely, thunders his law and protects his glory. He gave us the gift of the marriage relationship to acquaint us with the faith takes of this. A wife for a husband, a husband for wife, the only time jealousy is right in this life. But just as the distance is great between earth and stars, God's thoughts are much higher than ours. So his jealousy is on a
whole other level, unintelligible to the soul of a rebel. But in sacred scripture, God paints the picture, the aim to shake your frame is straight conviction, and that's what it should do. God's jealousy is frightful, and yet it's delightful and good too. I couldn't think of much worse if I tried than a dude who smirks if you flirt with his bride. So tell me, what kind of God would he be if he wasn't bothered to see idolatry? Is God just supposed to laugh and withhold his wrath when he's replaced by a golden calf? You say, I don't worship a golden calf. Well, for us, it's self and sex and loads of cash. Atrocious past, we still don't know the half of how these things provoke his holy wrath. And so we stand in awe and wonder how come God took his jealous anger out on his son. So all those who trust him can see like we're supposed to see and be forgiven of our spiritual adultery.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made, as our unbelief leads our hearts astray. How long before he turns his face away?
You're faithful to
save and you're faithful to judge. The God who was just became one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
That was Faithful God. And before that, we had The Jealous One and The Liberal Fly Shylin here on Truth Be Told Radio. If you want to find out more about him, go to lampmode.com, LAMPMODE.com. And also, his name is spelled Shai, Shai, Lin, LINNE. Thank you for listening today. Truth Be Told Radio. And what we're going to do next is play a song from Go Fish Again. And this one is called Saved, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a job.
By grace through faith,
yeah.
Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil, so they're saved for life. life and their fruit isn't foil. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off, but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession's litmus test. If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof, with absent proof, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth, dude. Or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. Now repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who dents contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just because we believe in eternal security, don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Because those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's the Spirit's rendering.
Was Timothy Brindle with Fruit of Destruction. And before that, we had Go Fish singing the Bible Book Bop. And now, The All Sufficiency of Christ by Timothy Brindle here on Truth Be Told Radio.
This is the All Sufficiency of Christ in the Gospel of Grace. To restore ruined sinners to himself for their joy in his glory. Check it out now. I'm asked by my peers, hey, where have you been the last 5 years? I stay buried in sin. I thought I was righteous, but that's a mirage. So God snatched off my mask and facade, exposing the true me. When you, the Holy One, showed me what you see, I was loathing this lewd scene, but it was only so you could show me your beauty. The beauty of your deep compassion for needy cats who are steeped in mad sin. But because of Jesus bleeding, gasping, now before God my sin's completely absent. Cause on the cross it was like my hell. So now my righteousness is Christ himself. Because of the blood spill, your mountain of grace done smothered my dunghill.
So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the CFO, most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the CFO, most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace.
So you convinced that you're ruined, and the proof is the bad fruit of the sin that you're proving. Sick of the emptiness you're pursuing. So what can fix the brokenness of a human? Our help is not in 12 steps, or in books on the shelves that sells best. Like health and wealth mess that compels self-flesh. Cause with self-help, guess what? You help less. Cause in self is indwelt death. So it's not an attempt to keep self-well kept. Only Jesus Christ himself can save us from ourselves in hell's depths. So what's the remedy for your sinning? Is it in performance-driven moralism?
Nope.
It's only falling on the Lord who's risen, whose infinite grace is of course sufficient to be reborn, forgiven, and adorned with wisdom, and freed from your morbid porno prison, and equipped for his mission. Only beholding his glory can transform a Christian.
So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the CFO, most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace. So what did God use for his army? Why it was the truth of him glory? Standing in the Son of God and at the CFO, most clearly seen and at the gospel of grace.
So name your need, he knows your strength is weak. The unchanging grace of the Savior's deed. In Christ Jesus, every saint's complete. So come by faith to our faithful priest.
What is faith?
It's just an empty hand that receives the grace of the precious Lamb, namely God the Son, crushed as your payment. His perfect life is our justification. So the gospel's not just for unbelievers. Every day we should trust and run to Jesus. Confess and plead, we're wretched seed, but his once for all death perfected me.
So when you come to the Son, behold this, the riches of God in abundant fullness. When you come to his blood, your soul gets peace with God, abundant love and wholeness. I'm now making the argument. The most far-gone sinner who's dark and grim can be restored by Christ to pardon him. Cause Christ's abounding grace is larger than your heart of sin that's hard within. Or all who his irresistible grace is targeting. Cause the gospel of Christ is the power of God for salvation from start to end.
Listen! So what did God, your spirit start me? Why it was the truth of him glory? Shining in the Son of God and on the earth. Most clearly seen and on the gospel of grace. So what did God, your spirit start me? Why it was the truth of him glory? Shining in the Son of God and on the earth. Most clearly seen and on the gospel of grace. Follow me now, listen me now, follow me, follow me, follow me now. See, after the sense of the Almighty. That's right. Lambo, you know who it is. Jesus, the Messiah. He's on the mission, y'all, and it don't stop.
Some men and cut knives. You can be saved if you trust Christ and turn from your sin.
finger on the cross, Jesus soaked up in anger. So instead of judge, he'll be your most loving savior. To restore us, the Lord poured his blood, so we could be with him forever in his world of love in heaven. You'll be seeing his beauty beaming. It's the greatest privilege for the human being. I can't wait till we cling and see the face of the King. So please come join us as we praise him and sing.
If you have the ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
If you have the ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
How gracious is God that no one breaking his laws. He gave up his son to save us from facing his charge.
If you have the ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
If you have the ear, let him hear.
Let him hear.
So confess he's true, it's the best you'll do. If he can save me, then he can rescue you.
Guitar Boy Sony from YouTube singing How Great Thou Art, the ukulele version, and that's Guitar G-U-I-T-A-R Boy B-O-Y 7070. So it's Guitar Boy Sony. Thanks for listening to Tribute to Old Radio, and here is a song by Charlotte again. This one's called A Simple Love Story here on Tribute to Old Radio.
Just let the symphony take.
That was a song called A Simple Love Story. That Shylin singing that. And I'm going to do another one from Guitar Boy 70. And this is Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. Here on Trippy Tory. Again, that was Guitar Boy 70 from YouTube singing Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And this is Truth Be Told Radio, and I'm going to play a song called Work It Out Now by Shylin.
Ladies, ladies, this goes out to all my sisters pursuing biblical womanhood. Let's go.
You run it hard for the King.
I know that's right.
If Jesus, you're everything.
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
working it out.
You running hard for the King.
I know that's right.
Is Jesus your everything?
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
You running hard for the King.
I know that's right.
Is Jesus your everything?
I know that's right.
Did he really make all things new?
No doubt.
By his grace, what you going to do?
Work it out.
Yeah, she's not your normal wife.
Nope.
She's 24 and Christ is the Lord of her life.
Yeah.
Her walk is evidence that she trusts in God. And no, she doesn't have a master's in divinity, but what she does have is a passion for the Trinity. When she recalls her previous prodigal season, and how at times she could be the loudest of heathen, she praises God for making this former feminist submit to her husband for theological reasons. Worldly-wise, watch over to learn to be a lady, but she's beating the writings of Carolyn Mahaney, and she would never disrespect her husband in public, and if she does it, she repents.
I love it.
That's a permanent stop, and by the grace of the Lord, yo, she's working it out.
You running hard for the King.
King. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince
It's a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog. He'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn.
That he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay, and ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king, I'm on my way, and all the old things going to pass away. Your turn.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
the voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Would you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown. There came a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn.
Long
your turn.
Ago, laid aside his crown. They came a mud kid, traveled to our town.
That was Penelope Judd, and that was Shylin singing that, and that's one of my favorite songs by him. Thank you for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, on Truth Be Told Radio. Now I'm going to play, let's see, this is another one by Shylin. This one's called False Teachers, here on Truth Be Told Radio.
1, 2, 1, 2. Yeah. Special dedication to my brothers and sisters on the great continent of Africa, the saints in Malawi, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zimbabwe. Don't be deceived by what America's sending y'all,
yeah,
man.
Let me begin. While the
There's still ink left in my pen. I'm set to contend. For truth, you can bet we'll offend. Deception within. The church, man, who's letting them in? We talked about this years ago. Let's address it again. Yeah, and I ain't really trying to start beef. But some who claim to be part of the sheep got some sharp teeth. And cats get mean when you criticize them. But Jesus told us, Matthew 7:16, we can recognize them. And God forbid that for the love of some fans, I keep quiet and watch them die with their blood on my hands. So there's nothing left for me to do except to speak to you in the spirit of Jude 3 and 2 Peter 2. And I know that some will label me a Pharisee, because today the only heresy is saying that this heresy. I'll dare to be specific and drop some clarity on the popularity of the gospel of prosperity. Turn off TBN, that channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's kinda like a pyramid scheme. Visualize heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful, they're lying to people. Teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. Ungodly and wicked, ask yourself, how can they not be convicted? Treating Jesus like a lottery ticket. And you're thinking they're not the dangerous type, cause some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cost. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then. Yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6:9-10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell. Down. If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
Prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2:1-3.
Let me make this plain, kids. God is the greatest. He never changes. His ways are blameless. For his own glory and at different stages, he raises up servants to make his name famous. I highlight one particular servant for the purpose of encouraging your worship to the Lord. Furthermore, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born on the outskirts of London, 1834. His dad and his grandpa were both in the ministry. His mother was praying for his soul since his infancy. Naturally intelligent, rapidly developing, but lacking Jesus fellowship, that would be irrelevant. The God of his mother unknown. Though Christ was up in his home, the faith just wasn't his own. The Lord answered prayer when, at the age of 10, young Charles became convinced of the wages of sin. For the next 5 years, the Spirit brought conviction, terrors and affliction, aware of his condition. One Sunday morning, though the stormiest snow kept Charles from going in the church he'd normally go. Randomly stepped into a church, heard the words, look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. And though
wrote the name of the preacher. That's the day that Spurgeon became a believer. So merciful, always so purposeful. Those whom he draws find his fall irreversible. Immediately after Spurgeon's conversion, obediently he was earnest to serve him. The Lord poured his spirit on Spurgeon abundantly. Anyone could see that he spoke with profundity, extraordinary giftedness seen, proclaiming God's mysteries at the age of 15 in a place called Water Beach, graced with the sort of speech that even made the old folks say, "This boy can preach." In fact, he was so classy that after the master, a Baptist church snatched him and asked him to pastor. At the time, he was 17 years old, on fire for the king who redeemed his soul. People flocked from everywhere. It was quite a scene. Called to a church in London at the age of 19. He was more than ready to his Lord. He was dedicated, even though he was never formally educated. If you would have scratched him, he would plead Bible. A rich prayer life was his means of survival. Amount that he read was truly mind-blowing, steeped in the writings of dudes like John Owen. And by God's grace, he fed the sheep new manna. In London, met his wife. Her name was Susanna. 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 Of God, stand to the side. The Spirit exalting the Lamb who has died. It can't be denied, this man we describe was simply a tool in the hand of his God. To observe this servant, extremely instructive. One word about Spurgeon is he was productive. Preach Jesus, no speakers, loudly he shouted. Each week packed houses of crowds in the thousands. His sermons were published, 62 volumes. He worked almost like he just knew he would die soon. Made mad disciples, passed on his knowledge, established a school to train pastors in college. Sold out to the Lord Jehovah his portion. Also, he built two homes for the orphans, a monthly magazine. Plus, he wasn't too busy to write books, about 150. God's grace in Spurgeon was manifest. But remember, the best man is a man at best. Yes, he struggled with depression, consistently sick kid. Both he and Susanna physically afflicted. He experienced as a servant of Jesus the power of God made perfect in weakness. Later on comes complications. His stance for orthodoxy got him shunned by his denomination. But through all the hardships and all the controversy, he never stopped relying on the sovereign God of mercy. And when he had finished pressing towards the goal, he entered into heaven at the age of 57. His life is a case of God's grace effectively at work in sinners to leave a great legacy. The proof is many years later in your speakers. We're praising Jesus for raising up the Prince of Preachers. 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 Prince of Preachers.
That was Spurgeon, and of course that's by about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And you're listening to me, Melissa Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. And what we're going to play now is Timothy Brindle singing The Humility of Christ here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Here's Timothy Brindle. This one's called Humility, and it's off the Killing Sin Project.
Father in glorification, before worship of fine angels above, the Trinity within a perfect triangle of love, still with no one else, no need for others, cause God is self-sufficient, fulfilled within himself, then we can only guess the conversation, but the Son agreed to rescue those the Father gave him. And although this Lord should be worshipped, he volunteered to take upon the form of a servant. The Father commanded, yet asked him to come. So now let's examine the fashion it was done. Let me ask you if you seem confused with this. God passed through his own creature's uterus. I admit this is odd, yet the Bible can persuade me.
An omnipotent God crying as a baby?
No doctors around, no spot could be found to give birth to a child. The only option in town was to be born in a feeding trough with breeding cows and feces. The scene was foul, it wasn't fancy but raunchy. How the
Son of God was born next to camels and donkeys. What an awesome feat to drop so deep and cop the sheep. He then stepped down, he took a quantum leap. And I'm amazed how God, infinite in wealth, put aside his fame and limited himself to time and space and eyes and legs. He died to save a violent race who sin would bring him hell. And assumed that this could be, now became a man penetrating into human history. But he did it completely opposite than people thought he would. So unbelievers mocking it. Who'd assumed that this could be, you became a man penetrating into human history. But you did it completely opposite than I thought you would. So I was mocking it. The promised Messiah didn't come in the honor of sire, but humbly rotten from modest attire. So people miss it. To be specific, the legalistic thought the king would be the richest. And we know we like commodities. Was the possessor of all riches, chose a life of poverty. Wait, it's not the descendant of David, is this? Yes, and he's descended the greatest distance. He chilled with sinners and tax robbers, amongst his creatures who to him were grasshoppers. He dwelt with the lower class, lowly men, and those known as trash were his chosen kin. And the unbelieving Jews were sick of him. They said, he runs with a team of stupid fishermen, and speaks to Samaritans and barbarians. Pharisees stared at him with harsh arrogance. It's shown when the Savior took notice of beggars, healed the blind and sick and those with lowest of wages. He even touched those with leprosy, which was seen as the most disgusting known infection. See, wait, are you kidding me? Watch Jesus go low and watch Peter's souls. What great humility. See, the second person of the Trinity came down to rescue workers of iniquity. Checked his earthly ministry, he didn't make a bed, he had no place to lay his head. But he became bound to his own law, but we found no flaw. Was from a rugged town so raw, slumbered and slept, hungered and wept and sweated. Plunged to our depth, the sum of our depths pathetic. The humblest yet, the humblest depth that's dreaded. The son is our rest, come under him, get his credit. No question that he's God, but he laid aside the full expression of his deity. In surf the chasm, no words can fathom how God walked this earth, which is cursed from Adam. No question that you're God, but you laid aside the full expression of your deity. In surf the chasm, no words can fathom how you walked this wicked earth. He was falsely condemned by Jews and filthy pagans. Now the cross, the peak of his humiliation. No discussion, surely best removed him. He got the most disgusting form of execution. He who sits upon the throne and rules was kicked and stomped and spit upon by Roman fools. Despised by Israel, tried by sinful souls, but was silent when struck by violent imbeciles. And Jesus was able to call down legions of angels, but he was too faithful. Gracious and patient with him, yet he was hated and forsaken by men. Like Jews, they hated his soul. Judas betrayed him for gold. When it was tough, his crew was afraid, so they rolled. Suckers, they murked him. This suffering servant was beat up and looked like he was cut by a surgeon. Slaughtered, bleeding, gushing, oozing blood. The Father pleased to crush him whom he loved. So he probably didn't even feel the crown and nails. He had to suffer more than that to bring down the veil. Our eyes are haughty and our minds are naughty. The Holy Christ bore our sins inside his body. Yeah, his veins they burst, but no one's pain was worse. Cause the one who made the earth became a curse. And he was one with the Father's essence. Put on the cross, the God of heaven cut off his presence. So I can't share any language that can rightly describe the Christ's despair and his anguish. So forever will I tell, in 3 hours Christ suffered more than any sinner ever will in hell. He who had infinite joy and pleasure became a man of sorrow so we can join forever. He took a cosmic plunge to arm some lungs. On the cross he came to God a sponge to soak up his wrath so the wicked wouldn't be sifted and blown into chaff.
Meet Mr. Nice Guy. You think you're nice? This guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right, let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my!
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
But God will forgive me, right?
Well, let's try that in court.
Hey, look, I know I keep breaking the law, but hey, catch up, well, you know, just let it slide.
Only a corrupt judge would buy that. A good judge would say,
justice demands that you pay for your crimes.
God's not a corrupt judge. He's a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that on Judgment Day, everyone who had sinned against God would justly end up in a terrible place called hell. And there will be no escape for all eternity.
Well, then, how can anybody get to heaven?
There's only one way. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. Then, Jesus offered to take the punishment for guilty sinners. He was whipped and beaten and nailed to a cross and died so that justice would be served and sinners could go free. Then, Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death. You can't earn eternal life. It's God's gift to everyone who will humble themselves and come to Jesus. He'll forgive you, wash you clean, and give you a new heart with new desires. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So stop living for yourself. Turn from your sin and come to Jesus. Then read your Bible and obey it. Find a good church to help you grow. And then go out and tell other people the good news.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown, online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
Each of our lives is a story, and with each new person we meet, we become a part of their story, and they become a part of ours. The God who created the universe has somehow woven together these billions of stories into one story, which is the greatest story ever told. Aye, check it. Let's go back in time, brethren. Divine lessons. Always keep your mind guessing. The glory of the triune gods, what I'm stressing. The origin of humankind was fine. Blessings were plenteous. God is amazingly generous. Crazy benefits in a state of innocence. God told the man what he could taste was limited. Not long after came my nemesis in Genesis. He scanned well. Man fell. Damned to hell. The whole human race, he represented it. Fooled by the serpent. Man through his work, woman through birth, even the earth ruled by the curses. But instead of awake, immediately God said a seed would be the one to crush the head of the snake. Yo, wait, what's this? Whoa, what gracious gift. In Jehovah's faithfulness, he clothed in nakedness. This was so they would know their Savior's kiss and bliss. But first, many growing pains exist. Suffering in the worst form, ugly deeds. Eve's firstborn seed made his brother bleed. Indeed, things got progressively worse. Every section of the earth been affected by the curse. And though God's judgments against sin were gory, praise the Lord, it's not the end of the story.
It's the greatest story ever told. Ever told. The God that throws those hearts like gold. It's the greatest story ever told. Ever told. The story known that the enemy's told. It's the greatest story ever told. Ever told. The glory of Christ is the goal. The goal. It's the greatest story ever told. Ever told. It's the greatest.
Next scene, man's sin was extreme. God gets steam, man gets cream. The Lord is so holy that he drowned him in the water. Fire in the valley of slaughter, Sodom and Gomorrah. But at the same time, he's so gracious and patient that from one man, he created a whole nation. Eventually enslaved by the mentally depraved, they cried out to the only one with the strength that he could save. He brought them out with signs and wonders, satisfied the hunger. Then he appeared on Mount Sinai in thunder, where he laid down the law. But God ruled government, commonly referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. Sin imputed, so for man to know he's unrighteous, God instituted animal sacrifices. This was to show our constant need for atonement. And when it came to sin, the Lord would never condone it. And when his people disobeyed and went astray, he raised up prophets and kings to lead them in the way. But they would get foul with their idolatry, wet and wild. Prophecy sent them into exile to take their punishment like a grown man. Then with his own hand, he placed them back in their homeland. And while in their forefathers' land they dwell, they awaited the arrival of Emmanuel. Word.
Story ever told. The God that still exposed his heart's time cold. It's the greatest story ever told. The story known that the enemy's told. It's the greatest story ever told. The glory of Christ is the goal. It's the greatest story ever told. Ever told. It's the greatest.
After 400 silent years, filled with sighs and tears, in Bethlehem the Messiah appears. God in the flesh, second person of the Trinity, at 30 begins his earthly ministry. Baffling cats with accurate, exact facts, and back-to-back miraculous acts. A stumbling block to the self-righteous, but to humble his flock, said there's no one else like this. He came from heaven to awake the numb, demonstrated his power over nature, son. A foretaste of the kingdom in the age to come, but the reason he came was to pay the sum for the depths of our wickedness, our wretched sinfulness. Bless his magnificence, he's perfect and innocent. Yet he was wrecked and his death, he predicted it. Next he was stretched, paid a debt that was infinite. He said that he finished it. Resurrected, so the elect would be the recipients of his benefits. Through faith and penitence we get to be intimate. His grace is heaven sent, it never diminishes. Now the Holy Spirit in dwelling is the evidence for heaven's future residents, who truly represent Jesus, the author, producer, director, and star of the story that'll never ever end. Ever end. Ever end, ever end, ever end.
It's the greatest story ever told. The God that still exposed his heart's time cold. It's the greatest story ever told. The story known that the enemy's told. It's the greatest story ever told. The glory of Christ is the goal. It's the greatest story ever told. Ever told. It's the greatest. It's the greatest story ever told. The God that still exposed his heart's time cold.
hearts turned cold.
It's the greatest story ever told.
Restoring all that the enemy stole.
It's the greatest story ever told.
The glory of Christ is the goal. Behold,
it's the greatest story ever told.
Ever told.
It's the greatest.
Yes.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, probably because he isn't.
We have never seen the agonizing death of a man on a cross. Immediately a man was nailed to the cross, he lost all his rights. And if you ever get nailed to the cross, you'll lose all yours too. Paul says, don't trouble me. I'm branded. I bear the marks of a slave. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I've no will of my own. I've no rights of my own. There's an old hymn established on that very theme. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus. All my being's ransomed powers. All my thoughts and words and doings. All my days and all my hours. This man is no professional preacher. Preaching is not a profession. It's a passion. Man can't preach with passion. He shouldn't preach at all. There's no breath of professionalism anywhere in the ministry of Paul. And thank God there's no breath of commercialism either. Paul has no fear. Do you know what he did? I would to God some of you fellows would do it. Do you know what he once did? He said, I bow the knee to the Father. And because he bowed the knee to the Father, he never bowed the knee to anybody else. Neither demons or politician or king. He stood there, regal. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
We're declared justified. Christ must have died for our lust and pride so we can clutch the prize. Disgusting eyes, thrust his thighs with a customized, busted, rusty knife. He was a victim of mockery. Afflicted, socked, and kicked, fulfilled scripture's prophecy. He sat in the penalty box
for me. He steadily watches the enemy cautiously. Instead of him telling me, cop a plea, the cops have settled, my felonies dropped, I'm free. So hug the highness for his loving kindness, cause of the cross, now our crust behind us. They punished him first, he was led to slaughter, a hunger and thirst for his bread and water. You and I are hyped to be crucified with Christ, who resides inside us, shining a truly guiding light. Chapter 35 of Isaiah told me this: the Messiah is the highway of holiness. He dissolves and he cleans my grossly and rotten tongue. It's for all who believe the only begotten Son. But you wrap your ears so you don't have to hear. But you cast no fear when he cracks the atmosphere. I pray to the God of Abraham that he can use this blazing jam to maybe save a man.
We're bond servants to Christ
for God's purpose in life.
Spread the gospel.
This squad worships with Mike.
Jesus saved.
We've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed,
then dream this praise. We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life.
Spread the gospel.
This squad worships with Mike.
Jesus saved.
We've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed, then dream this praise.
I'd rather be a janitor in God's house than a prince on this earth. The more I think on Christ, the more that I'm convinced of his worth. Ever since the new birth, things haven't been quite the same. Holy Spirit, please light the flame. Feed the starved and parched. Your word carved in parts as I aim these sharpened darts at heart and hearts with pinpoint accuracy. Unfathomably, God became a man and took the wrath that was actually for me. But he stood in my place. I'm immaculate and free because he took my disgrace. Lyrical kid through storm traps. I was once on that. Now I strictly form raps to warn cats about the coming wrath of the Holy One, running the path of his only son, or get cut in half by the smoking gun that's aimed at ya. So behold the main factor, Jehovah Thing Snatcher, potentate master of sacred data that's making Satan matter. God haters flatter under the weight of Jacob's ladder, cause sin's cause is incomprehensible when caught in the jaws of the invincible. Laws and principle whose laws are sensible. By contrast, our ways are insane. The cross is the pinnacle. While time lasts, we're making it plain.
We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life
to spread the gospel.
This squad worships with might.
Jesus saved.
We've seen his ways.
If you've been redeemed,
then scream this praise. We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life.
The law searches for the life.
This squad worships with might.
Jesus saved.
We've seen his ways.
If you've been redeemed,
then scream this praise.
God is closer than he appears, like the objects in the side view mirror. I'm here to provide you clearer insight as I write in the candlelit room of how Christ took flight and abandoned the tomb. It's bad to assume you understand. Imagine your gloom when you see the Son of Man in his majesty suit. His control is absolute. He lets the twilight shine, and his holy attributes stretch the finite mind. Inscrutable, he shines above with his godly essence. Immutable, divine love and omnipresence. Infinitely just, which means danger for the lost. Intimate with us, because Jesus took his anger on the cross.
So let's begin the feast with the Prince of Peace in the kingdom. We can sing him hymns with beats. His name is matchless. He gave us tactics to proclaim him like that famous Baptist. His throne stands the strongest. He owns the promised land. He's so grand and honest. He broke hands from bondage. I hope man's acknowledged with the chosen lamb accomplished. Let's serve in his likeness, a fervently righteous. God put on armpits and live perfectly righteous. There's a tabernacle in my Adam's apple. Jesus won the war, so we don't have to battle.
We're bond servants to Christ
for God's purpose in life.
Spread the gospel.
This squad worships with my
Jesus saved.
We've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed,
then scream this praise.
We're bond servants to Christ for God's purpose in life.
The lost search for the light. This squad worships with my
Jesus saved.
We've seen his ways. If you've been redeemed, then scream this praise.
That was Shyland singing there, and that's called Agony. Thanks for listening to Vitola Radio, and I'll play next. This is from Guitar Boy 70 singing Be Thou My Mission here on True Vitola Radio.
Be thou my best thought in the day and night.
Radio today, except for the go out as we came in with the VIVLE until next week, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Sunday again. Thanks for listening to Trippy Toll Radio, and we'll see. Hopefully, you'll listen again then. Thanks for listening for now, and bye for now on my 33rd birthday. Let's cancel us for Trippy Toll Radio.
VIVLE, that's the book for me. VIVLE, that's the book for me.